I'd like to start by reading just a small portion of Matthew chapter 1. It says, Matthew 1, starting with verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, being interpreted, God with us." I imagine most of us have probably received a number of holiday cards, Christmas cards. Oftentimes these cards come to us with various scenes on the front. Many of them have manger scenes, you know, the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the stable and all the animals and things like that. Others of them have maybe just winter scenes. Some of them have scenes that are more oriented toward sort of the mythology of Christmas. They might have Frosty the Snowman or even the Grinch who stole Christmas or Santa Claus or any number of things that we think of or some people think of around Christmas time. And so some of these cards are more biblical, you might say, in their orientation, and other of the cards that we receive really have not much at all to do with the true meaning of the season. Some people think in those terms as well. There are different ways that people perceive Christmas. For some people, Christmas is merely materialism, or that's pretty much what it amounts to. Simply buying gifts, having a good time, going to parties, spending money. And there's a lot of materialism, there's a lot of consumerism in our world today. I've heard that some stores would even go out of business. They think of December as the term that they actually make the money that they need for the rest of the year. They operate in the red, as it were, all the way up until about December. And then December, because everybody's buying presents and things, they actually make a lot of their money for the whole rest of the year during the Christmas season. And if it weren't for people spending a lot of money for presents, many businesses would probably go out of business. Sadly, we end up wasting a lot of money on presents. I read somewhere that people in the United States spend about $13 billion a year giving gifts that are really unwanted or unneeded. People spend a lot of time, effort, and money giving their loved ones things that they really don't even want or need, things that eventually end up being sold or maybe taken back to the store. And so there's a lot of time and effort and money that goes into kind of wasted effort because people really don't want or need all those gifts. Well, we can certainly enjoy the giving and receiving of gifts. In our tradition, in our home, we did that this morning. We got up not too early. The girls didn't wake up super early, but they woke up and they were all excited. They've been all excited, of course, over the last several weeks about opening their presents. And so we got up, got everything ready, and we finally opened those presents. And that's kind of a wonderful experience. Well, there's kids especially. I think we adults get as much enjoyment, maybe as much or nearly as much, as the kids do opening their presents. And we, of course, got all the pictures of the kids with their excitement and opening the presents. And there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, even biblically speaking, I think one of the reasons, one of the things that our tradition of giving and receiving gifts probably goes back to the fact that the wise men came to Jesus and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we can enjoy gifts. But of course, the spirit of the season, the true meaning of the season, is not all wrapped up in the giving and the receiving, the buying, the money aspect of the Christmas season. For some people, that's all they know. For some people, that's what Christmas really is all about, is the giving and receiving of gifts and spending money and going out and having a good time and just enjoying the winter season, or it's kind of an excuse to get out there and just have a party or drink or carouse or what people do oftentimes around Christmas season. That's really what it is to them. But Christmas for us should not center so much on material things. I don't have a problem with material things and giving of gifts. I think probably most of us will be doing that. It's a wonderful thing to give a gift that somebody appreciates. It's a wonderful thing to receive gifts that we appreciate. And so there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but that's not really the meaning of the season. That's not really what Christmas is all about. It's not about money. It's not about the materialism that we see so rampant in our culture today. So in our gift buying, giving, and receiving, we have to be careful not to be carried away with the commercialism or the materialism that's so closely associated with this holiday. Secondly, for some people, Christmas celebrates mythology. There's really not much to Christmas for some people other than the sort of non-biblical traditions that have come up that surround the holiday now. The giving of gifts, the eggnog, the caroling, the red and the green, the holly and the ivy, the lights, the customs of decorating the tree, tinsel, holiday parties, school vacation, candles, sleigh bells, reindeer, Kris Kringle, all these extra things that have kind of come in and are part of the holiday, but they're not biblical things, they're just mythological things for the most part. We enjoy the stories, how the Grinch stole Christmas, and It's a Wonderful Life, and White Christmas. These supposedly, in fact, oftentimes in these movies that have nothing to do with Christianity, they try to give us the true meaning of Christmas. And when they tell us about the true meaning of Christmas, it's usually something to do with generosity, or family, or food. But oftentimes it has nothing to do with Jesus. It almost never actually includes the true meaning of the season. They include elements like the magical and the mythology, the Santa Claus and the elves, the Grinch, Frosty the Snowman, but nothing about Jesus. In some of the traditions of the mythical Christmas celebration are ancient, possibly even pagan, but others are more relatively new in how they've come into our tradition historically. I read that back in 1931, an artist using the image of Santa Claus used it to promote the drinking of Coca-Cola. That was, I think, one of the first uses of the mythology of Christmas to try to promote and sell some sort of an item, some sort of a, in this case, Coca-Cola. Many corporations today try to combine the Christmas holiday or the mythology of Christmas with a product that they're trying to sell. Often today, they use the mythical aspects of Christmas to try to sell merchandise. It's interesting, I don't know if you've seen it, but I don't think I've ever seen a mainstream kind of a producer of something, a merchant or somebody who makes an item, makes a product that they're trying to sell. Have you ever seen them actually use Jesus to try to sell products? Now, maybe some Christian companies do that, I suppose, but not your mainstream secular companies. They use Kris Kringle, they use the elves, they use Santa Claus, they use all these different other mythology things of the season, but not Jesus to sell their products. I'm not suggesting that we do away with the mythical aspects of Christmas, but I don't believe that we need to center or focus ourselves on those mythical aspects during the Christmas season. There are some dangers, I think, some potential problems associated with the mythology of Christmas. One is that the tradition of the cultural Christmas can replace the true meaning of the holiday. In other words, this is all some people think about. For them, the idea of Jesus being born in the, you know, born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger, that doesn't enter their mind at all during the whole Christmas celebration. Santa Claus, reindeer, elves, trees, lights, presents, parties, maybe for some drinking, getting drunk, carousing. That's really what Christmas is all about to them, having some time off of work. That's all they really think about. The meaning is almost thoroughly secular. They may not be materialistic, but they are centered on the mythology of Christmas. It's all based on myth and sentimental feelings. There's no depth to it other than the mythology, just the season of the year and Santa Claus. That's really what they think about. So it can replace the true meaning of the holiday. And another danger is that the mythology gets mixed up with the true meaning of the season. In other words, the mythological elements of Christmas become entangled in the minds of some people with the true meaning of Christmas. Just down the street from our house is a large house where they do a lot of decorating. And in their decorations are included not only the mythology, they have actually hung from a line Santa Claus and the reindeer, so you see them kind of up in the air, hanging probably 12 or 15 feet above everything. And they have Frosty the Snowman, I think. They have all the other, you know, reindeer and things like that. And they have a little manger scene with Jesus. Well, if you didn't know any better, you might think, well, it's all the same. You know, there's Santa Claus and the elves and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jesus. It's all the same. And probably in the minds of some people, that's true. They would say it all fits in the same category of mythology or legend or just tradition. There's really nothing to it. Even the Jesus in the manger thing is just a religious story for some people. And so it can be dangerous in the sense of trying to, or some people kind of mixing it all together. Well, this is where Christians must be careful in their celebration of the holiday. An overemphasis on the mythology of Christmas will distract people from the true meaning of the season. They'll be thinking about Santa coming down the chimney when they should be thinking about Jesus being laid in a manger. Their minds will be focused on the Christmas cards and the cookies when they should be focused on Christ's condescension in coming to earth and being made as a man. This doesn't mean that the other elements of Christmas are necessarily wrong. I'm not advocating that we don't engage in any of these extra-biblical traditions. We simply need to keep them in their proper place. The only way to avoid confusing the Christian Christmas with the mythological Christmas is if we keep them both in their proper place. And I think that's especially important for children. It takes a while for kids, young kids especially, to understand the differences between the story that we teach from the Bible or the story that we read out of Scripture, let's say from Luke chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 1, perhaps in your tradition you read that story at Christmas time. How is that any different from other stories that you might read at Christmas time about Santa Claus or the elves or any number of other Christmas myths, the fictional part of Christmas? Do your kids understand that when you talk about Jesus and the manger, you're talking about reality, you're talking about fact and not fiction? I think it's a good idea for children, as you're coming up, to make a difference between the mythology of Christmas and the truth of Christmas, so that children don't confuse it. Children recognize that there's a difference between Santa Claus and everything associated with the mythology and Jesus Christ and everything associated with his birth. People should understand that there's a difference between the two, especially for children. The place to celebrate the mythology of Christmas, frankly, I don't believe is in the church. Christmas mythology, as fun as it is an activity that belongs outside of Christian worship. We can enjoy the frivolity and the fun of the season in some settings, but let's not let it intrude into the church. You'll notice, in fact, that we don't have a Christmas tree up here at church. We have a few things. We have some poinsettias. We have a little manger scene and things. But we don't have a Christmas tree in the church. Not that it's necessarily sinful or evil or wicked to have a Christmas tree. But the Christmas tree and the things associated with it, well, they're not really biblical. In my mind, I guess, at least, it just doesn't belong in the worship service of a church or in even the decoration of a church. Now, I know that there are many churches that have Christmas trees, and I'm not saying anything necessarily bad against them. But in my mind, I want to make a clear distinction between just the extra traditions of the season and the true meaning of the season. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect in our representation or how we celebrate necessarily, but I think it's wise to make that distinction between the mythology and the reality. In church, we must focus on the biblical elements of the story. The baby Jesus, Joseph, Mary, the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men. These are not mythical characters. And again, I think with children, emphasizing that, you know, over here we have Santa Claus and the elves, though that's mythology. That's fiction. It's not real. It's fun. It's exciting, perhaps, but it's not true. Then we have the story of Jesus, and we want to make sure that they understand that these are true, factual events and real people that we read about in the Gospels. We have to remember and appreciate the significance of the facts and not so much the fiction. So I think we can enjoy the frivolity of the season as long as we recognize that these things are fictional. The magic and the myth of Christmas is not really the true meaning of the season. So you've got the mythological, you've got the materialism. The true meaning of the season, of course, celebrates the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who came to be with us to save us from our sin. We celebrate the coming of Christ into the world at Christmas time. This is what Christmas truly is all about. Jesus truly is the reason for the season. The birth of Jesus becomes the center of attention for us in the Christmas celebration. We're not just celebrating a winter holiday. We're not just celebrating because we get time off of work. We're not just celebrating because it's the traditional thing to do. We're actually celebrating really a historical event, something that truly and actually and factually happened. It's not the mythology built up over the years. We're not paying homage to some fictional characters. The materialism of the season and the mythology really have nothing to do with it. Christmas focuses on the incarnation, as I said, Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation, how the second person of the Trinity added a complete human nature to his deity. A Christmas celebration celebrates the attention that we put on the God-man, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we recognize that the Bible doesn't command us to celebrate the birth of Christ. There's no command. We're not obligated to do so. In fact, there are good Christian people who refuse to celebrate Christmas time. We can look historically, and oftentimes people like us, had we been living 200 to 300 years ago, either here in the United States or in some parts of Europe, we probably would not be celebrating Christmas like we do today. So we recognize that there are people who believe that, you know, since the Bible doesn't command it, we are not obligated to celebrate Christmas. But I think there is good reason for celebration. This is good tidings of great joy. That's what the angel said. And we find people celebrating the birth of Jesus. And I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to celebrate the birth of Jesus as well. During the Christmas season, we simply direct our focus more specifically to the wonder of the incarnation. We set aside time to ponder this event intentionally. Done properly, a celebration of the incarnation can be a wonderful part of the season. It can be instructive, it can be reflective, it can have a devotional impact upon us. That's why we do what we are trying to do, for example, here and now, try to focus our attention once again on the story of Jesus and his birth. And we must not forget that the birth of Jesus was only the first step, or really only one step, in fulfilling the ultimate goal. As it says in Matthew 1:21, which we just read, he will save his people from their sin. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us that Christ came to save sinners. That's why we celebrate this important historical event. It is the good news that Jesus came into the world to save us. He died on the cross. He rose again. And if we would repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in him, the Bible tells us we will pass from death unto life. Our sins will be forgiven, and he'll give us a home in heaven. That is really the good news, the entire good news of the gospel. Really, it only part of it is the birth of Christ. But of course, it's his life, it's his death, it's his resurrection, and the meaning of that. And so it's very good news. It is truly good news of great joy that begins with Jesus' birth. And so Christians should rightly react against the materialism, the greed, the carousing that's so evident in our culture today as people celebrate this Christmas season. Christmas for them means little more than buying and selling, giving and receiving. That's what Christmas is all about for those who are materialistic and consumeristic. Christians may enjoy the traditions and customs of the mythological Christmas as long as we keep those celebrations and those mythological traditions where they belong. Our deepest sense of wonder should be reserved for Christmas celebrated as the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. The marvel of the incarnation ought to captivate us during the Christmas season and throughout the year. Well, let's close in prayer.